Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Shoup.
We're going to talk this morning about breast and endocrine surgery with Dr. Krista Illich. She's with Mary Washington Healthcare. Dr. Illich, it is great to have you here this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
I was telling you off air, we are going to be dealing with topics that I don't know a lot about. So this is, I'm a blank slate here. You can teach me about all of this. How did you get into this area of medicine?
This area of medicine or surgery in general? Because that's a long discussion.
we'll start with this area, and then we'll get into surgery as we go along.
Sure.
But just this area, how'd that all come about?
So really, it was mostly during my general surgery residency training. That's where you really get exposed to more of the subspecializations that you don't really think about in medical school. There's such a plethora of options in the surgery realm that only once you really kind of seek out those exposures, or you just happen to have it in your training, then you realize how much you're interested by them. So during general surgery, I was exposed to breast surgery and endocrine probably by my third year of training. And in those situations, I was definitely intrigued because it allowed me both situations to be a clinician where I'm really talking to my patients and going not just one time, not just being a technician, not just going to the operating room. They're very technical surgeries and subspecialized, but they have great results also from the surgery itself. So, we can have upwards of 90 plus percent survival rates if we have a great surgery in certain situations. Mm. And so it allows me to really be a critical part of the puzzle for our patients when they have these illnesses, unfortunately, that they come to see us for.
When you're in medical school, is it kind of like when you're just in school in general, and there comes a certain point where you have to make some decisions on directions? Does that happen in medical school?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And in fact, I actually had always thought I was going to be a pediatrician, so I really have gone off the kilter. And in medical school, I was exposed to surgery. I knew that I would like surgery. I'm very much a technical, hands-on person and like end results. And once I was in the operating room, I was hooked. I couldn't really deny it. I tried to talk myself out of it because there's a long path of training that you have to go through. But yes, there was a point. You just had to make a decision. I had to make that decision. I switched completely. Was the best decision I could have ever made. And then after that, that sent me on to general surgery training. And in general surgery, it's the same thing. At some point, you have to decide which kind of surgeon are you going to be. Are you going to go on to specialization? Are you going to stay broad and just do general surgery? And so each surgeon has to make that decision at some point as well.
Now, I will say, with your personality, you would have been a great pediatrician too, just because
you
do have that. But With what we're talking about today, I think that helps too, though, to have someone that's just not so just so stoic and this is what we're going to do. I think you would put people at ease.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I really, as much as I love being in the operating room, I love being in the office with my patients as well, and really having, I'd like to say I focus on my bedside manner just as much as I focus in the operating room and how I can relate to my patients and try to put their fears at ease, also make things understandable. It's a very difficult time in these situations, whether it's for a cancer reason that they're coming to see me or any reason. Most patients do not want surgery, period.
Right.
So I really want to ease all of that when they come into the office. And so hopefully my personality comes through. Certainly I always want to be professional, but I want to make sure that they understand that we're on the same team.
That's so important, though. And especially in some of these cases, because you just don't know. And if ever cancer is mentioned or anything, when anytime surgery is mentioned,
right,
all of a sudden you're thinking, well, this just isn't, you know, take an aspirin and call me in the morning.
Yeah, no, it's not at all. And so always, every time I walk into each room, it's different. Every patient is different. Every situation is different. I'm also very transparent and realistic about what the situation that we have at hand, no matter, like you said, whether it's something that's not cancerous at all, it's surgery period and the patient's going to sleep mm-hmm. for that surgery, and that can be a huge fear, all the way to it's an advanced cancer and we have to really talk about what that means.
So do breast and endocrine, did they kind of go together, or did you put them together?
That's a great question. So they kind of go together and they're kind of separate. So some surgeons keep them separate and some of us put them together. They do fall under a larger umbrella of surgical oncology, and surgical oncology itself, sometimes surgical oncologists do both in addition to other cancer surgeries. But then as the last decade has gone on, breast surgery has become more of its own entity, and the same thing with endocrine surgery. Endocrine surgery is a little bit more in its infancy as a subspecialization, so it's
okay.
Very, very specialized. When I was in fellowship, I was one of 26 in the country who did that fellowship, so that shows you how few of us there were at that time, which was about 8 years ago. And so now it's just growing just as much as breast surgery. And I've put them together largely because, again, they both fall under the umbrella of surgical oncology, but the patients that are affected by breast disease and endocrine disease are largely female population. And so from that standpoint, sometimes I'm co-managing both their breast disease and their endocrine disease, which is helpful to have the same surgeon for that. But then also those patients come a lot from the same doctors as well, and it allows just consistency across the treatment team. They, again, for both reasons, allow me to work with other doctors that are not surgeons and address larger things. So with breast surgery, I'm working a lot of times with the medical oncologist and the radiation oncologist in a big team approach, not just
surgery. I never thought of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So really intellectually having some significant discussions that is good for me as for my growth, continuous growth as a doctor. But then also it's a different way to treat a patient, really kind of multidisciplinary approach. And then from the endocrine side of things, I'm doing the same thing with the endocrinologist, right? And so I'm not just on my own doing the gallbladder surgery. I'm talking to the endocrinologist, what is our goal here? Are we going to continue to watch these masses that are growing on the thyroid, or mm-hmm. am I going to take this out? And then we need to talk to the radiation oncologist and possibly administer some treatment there. So again, it's a team-based approach, and it's really that to me is very rewarding, and it was a subset of surgery that not everyone knows surgeons do that stuff too.
Yeah.
A lot of people think that we're just in the operating room, we do our one thing and we go on our way, and that is true for some surgery specialties, but not the ones that I chose.
Yeah, no, I see that, and just the whole team approach and the working together. Sometimes we, as a patient, you don't realize that.
Yeah, and of course that the component to why I chose breast and endocrine as well is, you know, those are two areas I'm making a huge impact. I mean, breast cancer affects many women,
yeah.
And I won't discredit how much I really want to be that person walking patients through that journey and getting them to the other side. It's incredibly rewarding. And then in endocrine, obviously thyroid cancer, but also things where patients are feeling something in their neck. And if I can change that for them as well, I have an incredible job.
We will be back. We're going to continue this and get into just some of the nuts and bolts of all this. Breast and endocrine surgeon, Dr. Krista Illich with Mary Washington Healthcare here this morning. Quick break. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Find it. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Mary Washington Healthcare's Dr. Krista Illich here. She's a breast and endocrine surgeon, which we're talking about this morning. Again, I'm just in the last break, as you talked about everything, Dr. Illich, just the whole team approach is just so interesting to me. Mm-hmm. That's where in some ways I guess you're able to verify what you've seen, and everyone kind of talks about it.
It keeps everyone, one, honest. It keeps us all on top of our game. That is where, you know, not everyone knows, but often weekly, surgeons, medical oncologists, radiation oncologists, pathologists, radiologists all get together in a conference room, and we discuss cases anonymously, but we review everything that's been going on with the patient. We discuss it. We talk about recent literature that's out. We talk about any advancements, any different approaches that we would recommend, or we confirm and verify, this is what I'm thinking I'm going to do. It's also just keeps everyone abreast of everything else that's going on. But it also helps us coordinate things across different treatments, because cancer is not always just treated with surgery. It often is treated with a variety of things, radiation, chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. And so if we can make those transitions from one doctor to the other doctor for a patient, it's more of a seamless move, and that makes it easier on the patient as well.
Endocrine surgery. So, mm-hmm. so talk about that. In some of these, for full disclosure, I had to look up some of this stuff because I really wasn't. I thought, well, I think that would be this, and I'm learning with all of us this morning on this. But talk about endocrine surgery. What is it? How do you know if you have a problem?
Yeah, and I like I said, I appreciate that you've come forth with that, because that's very reflective of the general population. Not many patients know some of the organs we're going to talk about. So endocrine surgery is the surgery treatment of three different organs in particular, and the ones that I treat, the thyroid, the parathyroid, and the adrenal glands. The thyroid is what most patients have heard of, mm-hmm. which is a gland that sits in the front of our neck and is responsible largely for the metabolism in our body. But the parathyroid glands are four very small glands. They're about the size of a grain of rice. They sit behind the thyroid. So they're actually a completely different organ, parathyroid. There's four of them. And they are responsible for producing a hormone called parathyroid hormone, and they regulate your calcium in your body, which is very important. The calcium level in your body, it has to be within a certain range for a lot of different functions. Otherwise, when there is dysfunction, it can disrupt your bones and cause bone disease, osteoporosis. It can affect your kidneys, cause kidney stone or kidney dysfunction. And it also can make people feel pretty lousy with parathyroid disease as well. And then the adrenal glands are two organs in the body that sit in the back of the abdomen, right above the kidneys. So a lot of times also patients might think it's the renal gland, which is kidney, mm-hmm. but it's actually adrenal, and it's above it. And they are very important for other hormones and hormone regulation, which often is cortisol, a salt hormone called aldosterone, and your adrenaline, norepinephrine and epinephrine. And so big, important glands in our body that people don't know exist.
Right. I was just going to say, these all control so many things.
Yes.
And you know when something's wrong, mm-hmm. you feel it.
Yes. And so, you know, the interesting thing is that, you know, you kind of said, how do you know you need endocrine surgery?
Right.
And so it's not as simple as, unfortunately, just getting blood work. We wish it was, right? Well, at least for thyroid, cancer. So mm-hmm. endocrine surgery for all of those is indicated when there's cancer, thyroid cancer, parathyroid cancer, adrenal cancer. Thyroid cancer is not picked up in labs. None of those is really picked up in
labs.
That's
kind of scary.
Yeah, it is. And I understand that. And a lot of times when patients do come with a diagnosis already of thyroid cancer, there's a suspicion, understandably, why wasn't this picked up in my labs? My doctor orders labs every year. I thought they were fine. Was something missed?
Yeah.
And you know, I really very quickly try to put everyone at ease. No, your doctor did everything that they were supposed to do, but the labs don't, the dysfunction of the thyroid has nothing to do with if there's a growth or mass on the thyroid that's cancerous. And so the only way that's usually picked up is if a patient feels something in their neck or there's some imaging that's ordered of the neck. So patients may feel a choking sensation or some fullness of their neck that prompts a doctor to get an ultrasound of the neck, and then we see a mass that's suspicious enough that needs to be biopsied. The other times are when another radiology order has been done or film has been done, and then it's just incidentally found. So if you're having a CAT scan of your chest for lung screening because you're a smoker, and they just happen to catch the bottom of the thyroid, they might see a mass on there, and that prompts, hey, you need to go see this doctor. We need to get an ultrasound. And then one thing kind of leads to another. Obviously cancer, we do surgery, but we do it for other reasons. You know, iodine deficiency, which we don't see as much in America anymore, but when thyroids get very large or have goiters.
I remember those from being in school and was always terrified.
Yeah, so there's
that
plenty
was going to happen.
Yeah, so there's plenty of patients who have those still, and they might be self-conscious about them, understandably, and wear kind of turtlenecks and cover them up, but they feel them. Or there's just growths that have started to press on things. And the main thing there is that your neck is a fixed space, basically. And there's key important structures like your windpipe and your esophagus. And your windpipe, you need to be able to breathe through. And if that thyroid has gotten so large that it's pressing on that, we need to operate. We need to take the thyroid out so that, you know, you can continue to breathe. And then the esophagus, if you're swallowing every time you're choking on something, that's really affecting your quality of life. And so surgery is indicated in that situation as well.
So when you feel something, if I'm feeling something or someone notices something on your neck, you ought to have that looked at? Is that?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Yeah. And in fact, actually, I think there was a TV host one time who was on TV and they pointed out, hey, there's a viewer pointed out, you have something that's on your neck. Yes. And it turned out he had thyroid cancer. That was several years ago. So in those situations, you don't know what you don't know. And so if you know, though, that something's different for you, just go and see your provider, and that can, you know, hopefully put things at ease, or we catch things at an early stage.
I was just going to say, I'm sure it's that the don't just hold off on some of these things just because getting it early can make all the difference.
Right. And sometimes it's not the thyroid. I mean, there's some things in the neck that if a patient feels something and they come to me and we see, oh, you're having problems with swallowing, it's actually in your esophagus. And we need you to have an endoscopy and you see your gastroenterologist. And sometimes that's how we have found esophageal cancer. And that wouldn't have been looked at if the patient hadn't said, I really need to make this a priority. I always want to advocate I want to advocate for patients to be advocates for themselves, right?
I mean, and sometimes you want to be able to diagnose it. As a person, I want to be able to diagnose it myself so I can come in and say to you, here's my problem. And this is a good example of I might see something here, but there's something elsewhere.
Yeah, and that's just a whole other discussion.
I'm sure.
and a battle that we fight every day, and we'll continue with WebMD and Google Doc. But unfortunately, yes, you know, some patients will say, oh, I looked this up and it's not that. My thyroid labs were totally normal. It can't be thyroid cancer. And that's completely not understanding the bigger picture here. And that's what we're here for. That's why we went through the training so we can really, we're here to help. We're here to help others. We sometimes have, I would say most often, have a lot more information that you have at your disposal on the internet.
I would think so. I would hope so. Anyway, to go back just a bit, we were talking about some of these various glands and all, and you mentioned like kidney stones. If a person is getting kidney stones frequently, can that be an indication that there's some kind of a problem either there or elsewhere?
Yeah. So that touches on to parathyroid disease. And so those four glands regulate your calcium. And if one of those parathyroid glands has kind of gone off the rails and is doing its own thing, it's producing parathyroid hormone and it's increasing the calcium level in your blood. And that can predispose a patient to kidney stones. Kidney stones can be for other reasons, too, mm-hmm. that are inherent to just the kidney itself. And the urologist can help kind of tweeze that out as well. But if the calcium level in the blood is high, then we start a workup. And if it points and verifies that it's a parathyroid disease, then my job is to go in and find the parathyroid and remove it and cure the patient so that hopefully they'll never have kidney stones again.
Dr. Illich, I would think that a lot of people, in especially the area that you're dealing with, come in, thinking they're coming in for one thing, and they end up being treated for something totally different.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully the doctor who referred them to me has already kind of set the stage a little bit and cleared it up, but absolutely my goal is, and it's very confusing. I mean, like you said, a lot of people have not even heard of these organs in the first place.
So. I don't think I'd ever heard of a parathyroid.
Exactly.
Maybe I have, but to me it was totally new.
So to try to then try to relay and get the message across about how the parathyroid hormone works and how it affects the bone, try to simplify that in a way that patients can really understand, because it's a very complicated process. The body is an incredible thing. I'm in awe of every day. But yes, so, and sometimes, unfortunately, like we said, with breast and endocrine, I'll have a patient come to me for a breast problem, and I'm like, what's on your neck? And I've ended up doing thyroid stuff.
But a
lot of times there's a misperception that they're coming to see me for thyroid and it's parathyroid.
Interesting stuff. Dr. Krista Illich here, a breast and endocrine surgeon at Mary Washington Healthcare. We'll continue on this morning. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Dr. Krista Illich here this morning. She is a breast and endocrine surgeon with Mary Washington Healthcare. You were just telling me, and I won't even try to, I'll let you, that you're the only and the only on a couple of these, so I'll let you fill in the gaps.
Well, that makes me feel like I'm being super modest right now. Yes, so I am the only fellowship-trained, dedicated endocrine surgeon in the region. And like I said, I was only one of 26 in the country that was doing my fellowship at the time. 8 years ago. And so that emphasizes that I have a very, my experience and exposure to a lot of cases and a lot of pathology and high volume surgeries that I've done, that kind of just rolls into how dedicated and specialized I am with that. And then I am the only hidden scar certified breast surgeon in the area, meaning that I went on for additional training and certification where I really emphasize cosmetic outcome for my patients who are coming to see me for breast disease. So my goal, first and foremost, is to have the surgery be a success from either a cancer or oncologic standpoint and a successful outcome. But if I can elevate not only my technical skill, but the outcome for the patient by providing a superior cosmetic result, that's my goal. And so my intention is to put the incision in a location that when it heals, the patient will hopefully not see it after they get past this stage in life and can put it behind them.
Interesting. I mean, I've not thought of that's, I guess, if you put the incision in the wrong place, it's always going to be
there. Yeah, and it requires an additional level of or different way of thinking about things in the operating room. It's very much you have to be intentional about what you're doing. So it can require using different instruments in the operating room, using lighted retractors in the operating room, and also it's just a different way of approaching a problem. So for me, it's rewarding because it's challenging from that aspect, but more so when the patient sees it or any member of the team, we can't see the scar, it looks great. I mean, that's just an additional level of reward that I, you know, ultimately I get to help the patient at that level.
I would think just the whole hidden scar certified, like you say, you mean ultimately you want to make sure the patient is
absolutely
is healed
first and foremost.
But this really is something, and I'm sure that as you sit down and talk to people as a patient, I would feel really good that there's a possibility.
Yeah, and of course, even with endocrine surgery, you know, I'm operating on patients' necks. Right, so I can't really hide the incision mm-hmm. as easily as I can in being as many options on the breast surgery side of things, but I also still put the incision somewhere that I think will let the patient walk around and expose their neck and mm-hmm. not feel self-conscious about the scar that's on their neck, in a lot of ways hide it in a natural crease on their neck. It's just another level of being able to help our patients. And so a lot of patients, too, also come and say, I don't care about that. And I get that, and they don't at that time. That's not their priority. And, mm-hmm. I completely understand. But if I can also be thinking of that from, because I'm not emotionally entailed as they are, and, spearhead that for them, then that's my job.
That's got to really make you. You talk about feeling good, and I'm sure you feel good when someone's healed or they come back and they say, "I feel so much better." But that's a whole nother level. Just to say, I wouldn't even know I would have had this has to really make you feel good.
Yeah, and I don't do this to make myself feel good.
No,
but I want them to feel good.
Yeah,
and we go over the pathology first and foremost. Cancer's out. We're done surgically. That's great. And then I remove the dressing, and that's a new scar. And if the patient is already very happy with that, it's great. I love my job.
So, and you mentioned also a high volume surgeon. Does that mean just what I think it means, that mm-hmm. you do a lot of you've done a lot of surgeries?
Yeah, well, specifically breast and endocrine.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting because these are such subspecialized areas of surgery. You can imagine that there's far fewer thyroid surgeries that are being performed, or parathyroid surgeries, or adrenal gland surgeries that are being performed compared to, our most common general surgery of gallbladder removal, right? And so if you're not dedicated endocrine surgeon, then you are not doing those thyroid, parathyroid, or adrenal surgeries regularly.
Hmm.
And so what is actually entailed shown in the literature to be a high-volume thyroid surgeon is more than 20 thyroid surgeries in a year, which doesn't sound like very much, right? 20. So you compare that to when I do over 150 in a year.
I would want you to be doing it.
Right.
Please.
And so certainly in certain areas, every surgeon is doing their best, absolutely, mm-hmm. and not every patient has access to specialized surgeons, but when you do, which is why I came to Fredericksburg, is to help bring this to Fredericksburg, is that if you can go to that surgeon, literature shows, common sense shows, that those surgeons have been exposed to more pathology, circumstances in the operating room that then allow us to be more comfortable, be able to handle it correctly, and have better outcomes for the patients, fewer complications. I mean, every surgery, every patient is different. You never know until you're in the neck. And you can look at all the textbooks in the world, and something will come out in the operating room, and the more that you've been in the neck, the more that you are comfortable with handling that, and then that translates to how well the patient does.
Yeah, no, that's just in some ways common sense, but
right.
Yeah, but you do, you would feel, and especially as you talk about the neck, there's so many things can go wrong, and if they, there's, the neck is just tied to so many things.
The neck is an extremely beautiful anatomically area to operate in, but it's extremely dangerous. Yes. So,
just the fact that you say dangerous is it's
true.
Well,
I think
it's
important for us to always recognize what we're going into, right? And so the stakes are high. But if it can be done in a way where actually the goal is for it to be completely bloodless, to be very straightforward, mm-hmm. even if things are unanticipated, it's handled quickly, taken care of. But we're operating near a lot of blood vessels, important blood vessels. We're operating near nerves that, if it's damaged, can change a person's voice forever.
Right.
Not to mention your airway and the esophagus, which if cancers are invading those or things, we have to handle those as well.
And when I've seen pictures of the neck and everything, I mean, like you say, there's so much going on there.
Yeah.
I don't know how you know what's what and how you get around things and...
Yeah, and just the more and more that you do it, the more that you know exactly where you're supposed to be and the right plane that you're supposed to be in. So it's awesome.
It's fascinating, too, that Mary Washington Healthcare saw that, you know, that there wasn't a Dr. Illich in what you provide and bring to the area here and has brought you here. That I know as someone who lives here, I feel good about that.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. I appreciate the opportunity that Mary Washington has given me. But I also, you know, when I was looking for another direction, and I'm always looking, how can I grow individually as a surgeon, but how much can I contribute to society and to our patients, and saw the opportunity here and exactly what you're saying. You know, I hope to make a big difference and allow the patients here to have access to the skill set that I hope to provide and do for the community.
We talked a little bit earlier about how you got involved in breast and endocrine and that. How did you decide to go into medicine? When did that were you just a little small girl and decided this is what I want to do?
I always say I think my mom brainwashed me as a kid. I don't know. There's no one in my family in medicine, so I don't know how I came across it. But ever since I was in second grade, apparently, I was hooked. And then it's just, you know, I'm just very, you know, I'm very intrigued by the anatomy and the body, everything that comes with learning in medicine. And so... there's that, and then, you know, just helping others, is there's nothing like it.
I look, you look at what just, and you've even mentioned some of the different, how you do some of these things and mentioned some of the tools and things you use that are just way above me, but just the technology and what medicine does today, it's just fabulous. How you can be hidden scar certified, how that's even possible.
Yeah, I think that's a true, you know, a testament to us always being a group of providers and information seekers, that we're always looking for other ways, and how can we get better all the time. And it's important to also still obviously do the research that needs to be done to make sure that we're implementing things in the operating room that are going to be for the better, not for you know, the other. But we always need to be evolving. And the technology that's coming out, you know, I keep saying we can put a man on the moon. I'm waiting for us to be able to see right through the body and know everything that's going on at all times. So let's do that next, too.
Wow. Yeah. No, you just think about that and just what you're able to do. Dr. Christy Illich here with Mary Washington Healthcare this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. And a lot of these things, like say thyroid cancer, or we'll just use thyroid cancer, that when you go through the surgery or whatever you have to do, how long does it take to recover from some of these surgeries that you do?
Yeah, so most of the surgeries that I do are outpatient-based, so that patients can go home the same day or the very next morning.
Isn't that amazing?
It's
with
fantastic.
What you're doing,
that
it is outpatient.
Yeah.
I wondered that.
Now, with that, I still always counsel the patients that you may only see, you know, the one bandage, but a lot of work happened behind that bandage. And so most of the downtime for endocrine surgery is about 2 weeks. Usually patients are feeling great 48 hours later. However, I always want them to take it easy, mostly just icing their neck and you know, not yelling too loudly at the TV screen, the sports center.
Yeah.
Letting the inside heal. We know that no matter what, it takes 6 weeks or 42 days for actual full wound healing. But patients are feeling really good, so we just have to counsel them to take it easy, usually 2 weeks.
I am sure that that is sort of what you have to coach them on, that, because especially if you're not, if you're feeling better and you don't see a whole lot of, you know, you don't have bandages all over the place.
Yeah. Help me help you. So it's kind of, I want them to know that if you don't, you know, the next time around could be much more challenging, difficult. But most patients, especially when they see it on their neck, you can't drive for 5 days. I don't want you to have any delay when you're driving.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense.
So they feel great. You can't get behind the wheel of a car. So certainly outline all those details. Yeah. I can't go into everything, but most patients do well.
Okay.
Some I know are going to be a little challenging.
Which I'm sure is everybody's different, and you have to deal with that.
Yep. Yeah. It's a partnership. You know, I can only do so much. Patient can only do so much. We have the best results if we're on the same team.
So how often, kind of generally, then, do you deal with a person? Because you said that you like this because it's more than just going into the operating room, operating, and then that's it. That you do have a relationship. Mm-hmm. So you're I guess dealing with people for a few times before and then sometime afterwards.
Yeah. So particularly with breast patients, usually we have really a prolonged surveillance program afterwards.
Yeah.
At least for 2 years after the initial treatment. And then it can be even longer than that sometimes, depending on the whole the disease and how the patient is doing, and also how the patient feels, you know, comfort level. And then the same thing for endocrine. Endocrine often is curative for the non-cancerous diseases. In those situations, patients are happy to never see me again.
Yeah.
And I get that.
I'm sure.
But we do several appointments beforehand. So it's usually not, I said, when I used to do general surgery in residency, you know, sometimes I'd only see the patient the night of their gallbladder attack and one post-op visit, and that was it. But for these, definitely there's an established relationship.
Dr. Krista Illich here with Mary Washington Healthcare. She's a breast and endocrine surgeon. We'll wrap this up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We are talking now Mary Washington Healthcare this morning. Dr. Krista Illich is here, breast and endocrine surgeon. It's been great to get to know you, Dr. Illich. And I will say, if you go to the Mary Washington Healthcare website, you have some of the best videos I have ever seen. They really are informational and put you at ease. And in today's world, I mean, that's part of it. Just to feel comfortable with who you're talking with.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and I'm glad that they are informative, and certainly thankful to our marketing help there. And
Kevin Henry's great. He just does it.
Out to him.
Yes, it really is good information.
But definitely, I would love for patients to go there and certainly get some of their information there, and then also come to the office and be happy to discuss everything in detail as well.
Best way to get a hold of you, what? Go to MWHC.com and
just put my name in the provider search area, and that will take you to all sorts of links that I'm on. And then there's certainly contact information there for our office as well.
One of the things that's sort of circling around right now in the area is the whole thing with Mary Washington Healthcare in Anthem. Anywhere where people can get information on that?
Well, I think the first thing is that we're here to serve the patients and people of Fredericksburg, and we're doing the best that we can with that. All that kind of information is on the website, but then we can definitely address any specific concerns when they come to the office.
Yep, you can do all that. I guess the whether it's any of the areas that you deal with, if you feel like there's a lump or there's something not right with your body,
Go talk to someone. Go talk to your provider, not someone. Sometimes stay away from Google. Those are my two things.
Yeah, you think that you can get all kinds of information. And I know personally, I did make that mistake and was told not to and just thought, oh, no.
It's bad stuff on there.
But there is. There's all kinds of information. I just think that it's great to have you in this area. And we talked earlier about the Hidden Scar Certified and how that's here. And just the high volume surgery.
I appreciate that. It's great to be here. And, you know, I just hope to really build a practice here and help as many patients I can from the breast and endocrine side of things.
Have you been around a lot of places in the country?
Mostly just from training.
Oh, okay.
So from Philly all the way down to Savannah, Georgia, much to my mother's dismay. But now I'm back. So
we're glad to have you in this area. And like we say, these areas, if you feel something or you don't feel right, it is reassuring to know that that you're in the area, you've done this, and you've seen a lot of things over the years, and it just adds to the community.
I appreciate that. That's what I'm here to do. Thank you so much for having me.
How long have you been? Have you been here long? I didn't ask you that.
Three months.
That's not long. You've just barely started to switch things over. So it's been great to meet you, though. And thank you for all that you're doing. And again, MWHC.com.
Yes.
The information. And check you out.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much. Dr. Krista Illich is a breast and endocrine surgeon with Mary Washington Healthcare. I've learned new word. I mean, parathyroid. I had no idea what that was.
I'm glad. Hopefully, we've gone far away from where we started and brought a lot of information to the table.
We surely have. And when I know about these things, or if I have any situations or know of people in these situations, I'll send them to you, my friend.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Dr. Krista Illich, breast and endocrine surgery with Mary Washington Healthcare. Thanks for listening. See you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.